We will now have our reading, which is from Acts chapter 3. If you've got a church Bible, it's page 1094. Acts chapter 3, and I'm starting at verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. It's good to be here this morning to share God's word with you. For some of you who do not know who I am, my name's Akeem. And my wife's Jifa, she gave an amazing testimony about 2 weeks ago. She can wave so you guys know who she is. And again, it's just amazing to be here to share God's word with all of us as a community and as a church. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you are the author of faith and you are the object of our faith. And Lord, when we are hopeless, Lord, and when we have no faith, Lord, we look to you, Lord, because you are the firm foundation, Lord. So we pray, Lord, that, Lord, I will be instrument in your hands, Lord, to speak to your church, Lord, to build our faith in you, Lord. And we ask that your Holy Spirit will come in and amongst our midst, Lord, and do your work, Lord, that only you can do, Lord. So we ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you, Eleanor, for reading Acts 3. I believe God wants to challenge us as a church, all saints, to build our faith in eager expectation, to pray for the sick, to pray for healing. And I'll be making 3 points this morning in my sermon. So the first is Jesus is the author and the giver of faith. Jesus is the author and giver of faith. Second is Jesus has risen and he's a merciful Lord. Jesus has risen and he's a merciful Lord. And third is, what do you have that silver or gold cannot buy? What do you have that silver or gold can never buy? So before we dive into those three sections, I think it's best we set the scene of Acts again. So Acts 3 verse 1, and I think it's best you have your Bibles open because I will be referring to it quite often. So Acts 3 1, it says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man was lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. So a couple of points to note about this story that I found quite fascinating is first, the beggar has been lame from birth. And we can see in verse 7 that his feet and ankles probably never worked in his life. And he was also known by the people. Actually, he's probably nameless. He was just, you know, the lame man who begs at Peckham Station. His name could have been Akeem, but for all they cared, he was the lame man at the gate, Beautiful. And if we keep reading on to chapter 4, we see that he's over 40 years old. So this is a real miracle. This is not a trick, guys. Secondly, talk about strategic marketing. In marketing, you're told that everything is about location, location, location. This man knew the basics. He begs every day from those going into the temple courts or the house of God. This is probably the best time to get people's money. They are most likely to be generous because being generous for Jews was an act or seen as an act of righteousness to God. So you get them whilst they're most vulnerable. Talk about hustling. Now we come to the first part of my three points. The first is Jesus is the author and giver of faith. Jesus is the author and giver of faith to heal the sick. So if you look at verse 6 and 16, we're going to read that together. Verse 6, Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then verse 16, I actually prefer the Revised Standard Version. I think it's a bit more accurate than the NIV. So I read the RSV for my portion. It says, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith, which is through Jesus, has given this man perfect health in the presence of you all. So for Peter, this healing of the lame man can be explained by one thing, faith in the name of Jesus. And that's why he says, and he commanded him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say to you, walk. So does this mean that if we have faith in the name of Jesus and declare that, will this unlock endless healing and miracles? No. Faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not a magical formula that guarantees automatic healing for all. There is no magical force in sounding or pronouncing of the word. Faith in the name of Jesus and saying, in the name of Jesus, never forces God to do anything we ask. Our God is sovereign and he does whatever he pleases, and no purpose of his can be stopped or thwarted. Luke, the writer of the Acts, of the book of Acts, attacks this idea head on when he narrates a story in Acts 19. And in Acts 19, we see God using Paul to do extraordinary miracles, even to the sense that his handkerchief and aprons brought about healing for the sick and deliverance from evil spirits. So there were some people who attempted to perform deliverance from evil spirits. And they thought by invoking the name of Jesus without placing their faith in him. And in particular, Luke records that there were seven brothers who attempted to cast out a demon and thought to themselves, yes, we have it. If we only say in the name of Jesus Christ, we can enjoy the same success Paul did. Unfortunately for these seven brothers, they were mistaken. The evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And the man that was possessed with evil spirits overpowered the seven brothers. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. So faith is not a weapon by which we demand things from God or put him in subjection to us. Faith is an act of self-denial. Faith is an acknowledgement of one's inability to do anything and a confession that Jesus can do everything. Faith derives its power not from the spiritual energy of the person who believes, but the supernatural efficacy of the object of belief, which is Christ. It is not faith's act, but its object that accounts for healing. If you look at verses 11 to 12 again, it says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does it surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if it was by our own power or godliness or piety or even faith that had made this man walk? Please do not be mistaken as to who brought about this miracle. Jesus Christ and him alone has all authority. We are but instruments in his hands. Even the faith to believe that God wants to heal this lame beggar is a gift from Jesus. That's why I said Jesus is the giver and the author of this faith. To be sure, Peter meant to declare that he was nothing but a minister and that Christ was the author of the miracle. And that's why in verse 16, Peter repeats quite a lot of times, he said, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Peter is saying that faith in the name of Jesus is a gift granted by Jesus. And the power to heal the sick comes from Jesus alone. Everything is Jesus. Therefore, all praise and honor and glory belongs to Jesus alone. And this brings me on to my second point. Jesus sits on the throne. He has risen, and he's a merciful Lord. The healing of this lame man, for me, points two things about Jesus. First is that Jesus sits on the throne, and he is risen. And second is, it gives us a glimpse of the heart of God. Jesus is so merciful. If you look at verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. Jesus was raised from the dead, and both Peter and John are witnesses of this historical fact. Without the resurrection, Jesus would have been relegated into history as a good moral teacher. But if Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we should all fall at our feet and call him Lord and God. And this resurrected Lord has been glorified by the Father. The Father has given him a name that is above every other name. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. And this risen Christ has been exalted, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to the Son. How could death keep a hold on the author of life? For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So you have been created for Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. God raised him from the dead, defeating our greatest enemy, our greatest fear, death itself. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death has been swallowed up in victory. Not only is Jesus Lord of all, he is so merciful. And the healing of the lame beggar is evident of his gracious and compassionate heart. Jesus healed this man who had no faith, zero faith. If you look at verse 3 to verse 5. It says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his full attention, expecting to get something from them. He didn't expect healing. All he wanted was his daily bread, money. This man had no other expectation but to receive money. And this encourages me because Jesus gives him more than he could have ever expected. All he expected was his daily bread to be met. But Jesus heals him and meets his very need. How merciful is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus also showed mercy to the crowd. If you focus on verses 13 to 15, this is when Peter was addressing the crowd. He said, you, the crowd, handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life. These are the accusations that has been brought against the crowd. But if you flick to 19, this is just amazing. Verse 19 says, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out or blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Jesus is so rich in mercy that he calls the same very crowd who crucified him, who rejected him, who disowned him, and asked that a murderer be released instead of him. He calls that same crowd to repent and turn back to him. And he will forgive them. How merciful is our God? So whoever you are this morning, whatever situation you may be, whatever you think you have done, know that Jesus is merciful to you this morning. He wants you to know that your sins are never a barrier to him. He loves you and he died for you and calls you this morning to repent and put your trust and hope and confidence in him alone and not yourself. Jesus is the author and giver of faith. He is merciful and he wants you to have something that silver or gold can never buy. What do you have that silver or gold can never buy? Look at verse 6. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. What do we, all saints, as a church, what do we possess and what do we have that we can give to the world? We have the gospel of Jesus. Jesus was treated as we deserve, that we may be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins, in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness, in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. And by his stripes we are healed. This is the story that the world needs. This is not good advice, as Jenny says. This is not good advice. This is good news. This is good news. Jesus died to reconcile sinners like me back to a merciful God. Jesus is the author and giver of faith to heal the sick. He heals because he is merciful and he holds all supreme authority and power, and he gives us something that silver or gold can never buy, and that's himself. At this time, I'm going to invite the band up and also Jenny and the prayer group to come in front. And Jenny's going to get some anointing oil. I really, really believe, I don't know what situation you may be or what may be ill in you. It may be in your body, it may be in your mind, it may be in your soul, or you may feel that you're so far removed from God, but know that the Lord is merciful. He is compassionate and he is slow to anger, abounding in love. It's time for us to move the heavy stones of fear and doubt in order to risk looking foolish so that God may look great. Let us pray that God, through his Holy Spirit, can grant us and the people in front the gift of faith and the gifts of healing and miracles. This morning, God wants us to know that because Jesus has been raised from the dead, he is a good and merciful God. And there's incredible, incredible power and anointing available for us as a church today when we are one in purpose and spirit and intent. Healing is available because we are together. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think or even imagine. All Saints Peckham, when we are together, there is power. And God is able to graciously give you healing for your spirit and mind and body, to restore you to physical and emotional and spiritual wholeness. Whatever may be the wall that is in front of you, if you come forward in simple confidence, not in me, not in these guys, but in the risen Lord, all authority is given to him, and whatever he decrees, no power in hell can resist. And whatever difficulties you have, threatening worse and worse, lay this to your heart, that our resource is in the risen Savior.